Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casinos, the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Professor H.J. Mackinder. Six capitals, six points of view. Brussels, the combined point of view of EU and NATO. They're not the same. They have different missions. And in these last days, NATO has dominated the conversation. Emmanuel Macron boosts defense budget to keep France a war ahead. How Britain's Challenger 2 tanks could alter the battlefield in Ukraine. Or Germany has failed, say Olaf Scholz's own allies, filling in that detail. Germany dashes hopes of breakthrough on tank shipments to Ukraine. Berlin fails to reach agreement with Western allies on sending Leopard 2 tanks, despite mounting pressure from NATO and Kyiv. I believe Germany has also hesitated to give permission to Poland and Finland to send its Leopard 2 tanks to Ukraine. There is the question of America sending its Abrams tank to Ukraine. Professor, NATO is at odds with itself, as we have not seen in almost a year of war fighting, where there looked to be momentum in the same direction, with the possible exception of Turkey. But then again, that's always an exception. However, the main core of NATO, which is London, Paris, Berlin, and Rome, plus the U.S., has been moving in one direction until now. How do you measure the point of view, given that it's easy to blame Germany, but all of NATO has to have unanimity? They know that.
Well, the first point is that Europe, if it were to pool all of its military resources and organize them into a single fighting force, would be a superpower. Europe, divided up into the so-called NATO powers, is a group of however many there are, sort of seven or eight countries that are incapable, in fact, of fighting a war at all without the United States. And what we're seeing now, what I would say is that there's a sort of a split. I'm starting to see a real crack in NATO here. Because if the NATO leaders, the countries you just mentioned, if they took the Russian threat seriously as an existential threat to them, which in fact it is, more than it is to the United States, their leaders would all be meeting constantly and hammering out a common policy. But they're not doing that. They're each of them is focused on their particular little piece of territory, of which the largest is France, 210,000 square miles, which is not really a very big country, and Britain is half of that. Now, you mentioned Mr. Macron and his increase in military spending, which is quite substantial, but I was looking at it. It isn't even about Europe, let alone about Russia. It is the continuing pursuit of a kind of will-o'-the-wisp that France has been, I guess they've been pursuing it since the time of Napoleon, but they have particularly been pursuing it since the time of de Gaulle, which is French military self-sufficiency. And this is impossible, given today's the costs of fighting wars today, the cost of preparedness, and the incredible technical complexity of modern weapons. The French they will not cooperate with the other Europeans in developing joint systems. They do make rather good aircraft, but there's really, if anything, there are too many good aircraft on the market, and the one that the British and the Japanese and the Italians are developing is going to be probably the best, and the French are not even remotely involved with that. But Paris has not yet understood that France alone is too small really to do anything except as part of an alliance. And what we see is far from trying to strengthen her alliances. Mr. Macron, for instance, is he's disagreeing with us about China. The French intelligence has egg on its face because they did not anticipate the invasion. And there's this fascinating, there's French are still very ambivalent about NATO, and there is this sympathy for Putin that I mentioned. Now, and so that I see both France and Germany as problematical as serious war fighters in NATO. On the other hand, last Thursday, we got a pledge by 9 countries that they would continue to support Ukraine with whatever it takes to win. And it's an interesting collection of countries, Estonia, the United Kingdom, Poland, Latvia, Lithuania, Denmark, the Czech Republic, the Netherlands, and Slovakia. I think we see here that this British effort, partial British effort, I don't attribute it to their prime minister now, but there is some understanding in the British military that they have to have alternatives, and also that they're far to the north and that the sea over to Russia and so forth is important. So they have a certain community with, say, the countries that are on the front line. But when I look at this, I say to myself, my goodness, we're talking about whether we're going to support Ukraine until they've got the Russians out of their country. Well, where's France? What is their opinion? Where is Germany? Have either of those countries decided how they expect things to end, or even what their interest is? I have to mention, we're going to talk about Germany more, but understand that the Germans supply diesel engines to China, which are very, very quiet and which are used in Chinese submarines. And they're indispensable to making those Chinese submarines quiet enough that they can approach American carriers and so forth without being detected. Well, I mean, what kind of alliance behavior is that? That's terrible. So I see the latent splits in NATO are now starting to surface. And what shall I say? No one welcomed the Russian invasion of Ukraine. But some people, some countries, seem to have thought that they could avoid dealing with it. And that's quite different. It happened. It's a fact. It's a fact. The resolution or how we deal with this fact is going to have tremendous repercussions. And one or the other, either Russia's going to win or Ukraine is going to win. And there's no middle between those. And if we in the West squabble, we're just going to make things worse. And I think we're beginning to do that.
A detail. Blaming Germany. That's easy, Professor. Germany was blamed for much of the 20th century, and now it comes back again. Blaming Germany. Is this something that can bring down the support of Ukraine? Identifying Germany as a problem, and therefore we don't have to write big checks anymore?
Oh, dear. I suppose that it would be a good thing if the Germans were on board, but I think really on board. And I think that the problems Germany has are deep historical problems. A German was saying to me the other day that Germany goes, it has a kind of, it grows and or it has pulses of strength and weakness. So in the last century, you see a pulse of great strength after unification, and then in World War I, followed by weakness, followed by another pulse under Hitler, when they were for a while very, very strong, and then they were wrecked. But they're unable to achieve an intelligent and a rational consensus and then pursue a policy in the long run. But I think that I hope that we'll clarify our own thinking enough that we can lead. And if we lead, then what Germany does will be less important.
Let's go to D.C. Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, commenting on 5-6 capitals. We'll come back to Berlin, but we're going to Washington.
Okay, we're
going to
come back to Berlin?
Yes, we're going to come back to Berlin because the questions about Berlin have to do with the credibility of the whole effort now. Germany is a touchstone for the future. Remember, there is that other war, Professor. Well, you know it very well. It's the energy war.
Yes.
And once the battlefield becomes either a ruin, a stalemate, an armistice, or a victory, the energy war will continue. Professor H.J. McIntyre, International Relations. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. We're heading to Washington, D.C.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.